Hello and welcome back to the Rosebreak podcast. Today I'm joined once again by my good friend and ex strength and conditioning coach. I guess, Andy, you can talk.
Okay. We talk about it in a thing.
Welcome to Rosebreak podcast, Andrew Marshall, The Redemption.
Dun, dun, dun.
That kind of gives it away that we do that at the end of the episode. Yeah. We've given it away.
Okay, so the title will be revealed at the end or something, I don't know.
I'm going to keep this whole thing in, by the way.
Okay.
Okay, standard. Check
we've
it
got
out.
Some, yeah. We'll keep it strong.
How's it going, mate?
All right.
You've got to get your microphone etiquette down.
Like right in front of me, underneath.
One fist away.
Yeah, it was just off to the side.
Yeah. In the second episode, you were too close.
Okay.
You were like this.
So right. I've done everything.
You've been too far, too close. Just right. Goldilocks effect.
Exactly. So I've made the two glaring errors you can make. I've learned from both of them. And now we're here.
So this is the third time that you're appearing on the Rosebreak podcast.
It is.
The first one was episode one.
What did you think? What did you think it was going to be when we sat in that room and did that?
Do you know what? I really had the podcast is a really nice thing for me because it truly was a seed that I planted with no ambition and no. I had not thought in my head anything that I wanted it to be. It was something that I just wanted to do, and because it was sort of inconsequential for me, it wasn't something that I relied on for money, it wasn't something that was, you know, I didn't have to do it, I literally just did it for fun and because I thought it would be interesting and I just had the desire to do it, it meant that I didn't have to care how it went, and it meant that it just did whatever it wanted to do.
And do you still feel about that now?
Is it a different
entity? It's definitely more professional than the first time that we did it.
Well, this is actually, so the first time we did it was two microphones in...
What was the year?
4 years ago. 4 years ago. 16. It was 2016. We were in the recording studio, rented recording studio. And then the second one was in my studio, which was with this audio setup. We didn't have the camera. Now we got the camera, but we're out of the studio and now we're into the cave.
Third generation.
Into the cave, we're in third generation. So that first episode was,
Podcast 3.0.
So first one was Andrew Marshall. The second one was Andrew Marshall, The Revenge.
Okay.
What's the third one?
Okay, we'll figure out at the end. By the end, we'll know.
Is it Last Blood? This time it's personal.
Yeah, it could be Last Stand. Last Blood. Is that what you said?
Yeah, that's Rambo, isn't it?
Last Blood.
That's Rambo. Yeah. But that would suggest that this is the last one, even though that wasn't the last Rambo film. How you been?
Yeah, I've been good. I'm enjoying the new world at the moment.
Yeah.
It suits me.
I'm not sure I'm a fan of it anymore, to be honest.
Yeah, you're way more extrovert.
I think that comes down to it. Introverted people, this is either they were already living like this and they were like...
It's not a huge departure from my...
You don't leave your house unless it's absolutely necessary. Yeah. That's normal life.
I leave my house a lot. I just...
I guess.
You don't need to.
You don't need to. Other people.
Not necessarily.
So I listened to our first episode. I listened to our second episode. Thought I was a bit of a dick.
Thought that you were a bit of a dick.
Yeah, I thought it was a bit, not a bit of a dick, but I listened back on it. It's very strange listening to old podcasts of yourself because...
I'm never going
to
do it.
But it's actually good because you listen to it and you think up... You know when you listen to something, and I think this is how you know, hopefully I can vocalize this properly, when you know that you resonate with another person, when you believe the same thing, and I do this in jiu-jitsu as well, but I'll get onto that in a second, but someone will say something like, you'll ask a question and I will think what my answer to that question is.
Yeah.
And then if the person who's actually answering says a similar answer to me, I'm like, we're on the same page.
Yeah.
Right? And of course, when you're listening to a podcast of yourself talking, you're pretty much always on the same page, sometimes word for word. And I do the same thing in grappling as well. So like if I'm watching someone grapple and I'll see a position and I'll think, what would I do from there? And then I see whether that person does the same thing.
So in what way do you think you're a dick? Have you grown as a person since the previous one?
I think so. I thought I still felt that I was on the same page with a lot of stuff. I felt that I maybe was a little bit closed-minded
back then.
Yeah. So that was the second episode. That was 3 years ago. So good to catch up again and do number three
with an open mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe I'll look at this one in 3 years and think, God, I was a douche back then.
When did your mind open? When did it bend?
That suggests that it has stopped opening.
Yeah,
hopefully your mind never.
But now it's just now it's, yeah, it never closes.
It's relative.
It's just the floodgate.
Hopefully. So it's interesting to sort of follow over the last 4 years, the change in our training.
What was the general topic on the first one?
We just spoke about lifting and like dinosaur training and like we squat loads and Villain Barbell Club. Because Villain Barbell Club was a thing then.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the second one.
And you still like dinosaur training.
I still like dinosaur training.
Squat loads.
But I don't back
squat.
Sounds
like you cleared your throat up a little bit though.
I know. Yeah. Don't back squat at all. So second one was you'd closed Villain Barbell and you had really moved on to in your training, you'd really changed. You weren't lifting a lot. You'd lost weight. You were doing a lot of yoga and doing a lot of calisthenics. You were big into gymnastic stuff. And you'd just been getting into it when we recorded the episode. So follow up with that. You don't really do any yoga anymore, do you?
Yeah. I'd probably use it most days.
But not like you were doing back then. You were super into it. Like that was your thing.
Well, I think that it's like, I'm like a blue belt in yoga. Do you know what I mean? Like I know the basics.
So you lost that white belt enthusiasm.
Well, no, it's not that. It's just like kind of it's like anything. I'm not particularly bothered about mastering it.
Sure.
I don't really want to become a yogi, but I'm interested in the certain aspects of it and what it can bring to my, like the way that I use my knowledge. It's like just another little string to my bow. I didn't really feel like I needed to go any further than that, whether I'm wrong or right or naive. Time will tell.
So you've been doing it for the last 3 years then, since you kind of, you were probably a couple of months in when we spoke last. What's the biggest lessons that you've learned from doing yoga?
For me, I just like it. It helps me, gives me more awareness of my body.
Proprioception. Yeah, I understand that. Do you think that yoga is the only modality for gaining that?
Absolutely not. It's just the one that I found.
What other ones do you think there are?
Probably all the ones that are similar to yoga. Do you know what I mean? Anything where you have to like focus in.
But you can put your jumper down if you want.
Anything that helps you focus in on.
You just stick it on the side
like
if you
want. Like a movement or a movement pattern or like an aspect of your body.
Yeah. But surely.
But yoga just does it fast, doesn't it? Because it's the whole idea.
Idea is about feeling what you're doing.
The whole idea is like focusing in on what you're doing and your breath and stuff, isn't it? So.
And you're doing calisthenics.
Yeah.
Gymnastics.
I was always doing calisthenics, but you just kind of, I had the opportunity to take it further because I wasn't doing anything else.
So what are you doing now? You're back into the martial arts.
Like what am I actually myself personally doing?
Yeah.
As for my physical training or like what are my overall beliefs?
Oh, we'll get into that.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
We've got time, don't worry. We'll get into that. Mate, get that mic in front of your face a little bit.
Well,
just move the mic. Yeah.
Pre-lockdown.
There you go.
All I was doing was just training martial arts and MMA.
So you're doing no S&C work?
The thing is, me saying I'm doing no S&C work, it depends on...
Who's asking?
Yeah, there's levels to this, right?
Sure.
So I was doing pull-ups and push-ups over the course of a week. I was doing pull-ups and push-ups. I was doing roll-outs. I was doing skipping. I was doing basic core work. I was doing my constant flow of yoga or mobility or whatever it is I feel like I need to do to keep my body healthy. I was just doing what I felt like I needed to do to keep my body able to keep getting on the mat.
So I think that that's what's interesting with you.
In my mind, it's like maintenance.
Sure. So you're not looking to improve, you're just looking to stay healthy, basically. Mm. So the interesting thing with you is that you went from doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which is how we met, then leaving the martial art world to venture down a path of strongman.
Yeah.
You're competing in strongman.
Yeah.
And then you took some time out and then you got back into martial arts. So I want to know, what it feels like to train SNC for a sport, then not really, unless you count strongman as a sport. But even then, there were times where you weren't doing strongman or martial arts and you were just lifting to be strong or lifting to be powerful or just athletic or whatever, and then back into martial arts.
What about, what's the question?
Well, I think that's an interesting journey and I want you to try and elaborate on what your...
I was into training, into physical training, into like increasing the attributes for the certain interest I had at the time, and it just would have matched the interest. So when I was doing jiu-jitsu, I was kind of training more for jiu-jitsu. But then by getting into the strength training, I kind of went down a rabbit hole with the strongman stuff. So I trained for that. And then I've come away from that, done a few things in between, found something else.
I guess the reason why I asked that is because that may sound, it may actually be a stupid question, which is kind of how you, it looks like you took that. But the reason why I ask it is because I've never... not done jiu-jitsu whilst I was doing SNC.
You've had other interests in, like you were like went intensely on nail bending at one point.
Yeah, but
went,
it was always for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but that's a separate thing almost, isn't it? For your, in your training.
No, it's not. That's the thing. It's never been
nail bending for jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, 100%.
I think you maybe got into nail bending for your jiu-jitsu.
But like, exactly.
You didn't need to go as far down it as you did.
But that was
a conscious choice for you to carry on with it.
Yeah, I know, but it's still connected to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it's like to go to a gym without having that focus in the back of my mind. Maybe there's nothing there. I don't know. Mm. I was wondering.
I just switched hobbies for a little while. Whereas it's not a hobby.
No.
Like I don't know anything about the jiu-jitsu community really. Like, you know, it's just like that's your world, like everything. You always say to me, do you see this? I'm like, I'm going completely out of it. It's not my thing. In the same sense as it is yours.
Yeah, sure, I get that. So the last time we spoke, again, not that this entire podcast is just going to be a review of the last podcast, but the last time you spoke, you said that you were weak.
Physically?
Uh-huh. See, this is the advantage I have to... I can actually say that you said anything 3 years ago and you have no idea.
Can you remember what was going on at that point? Where was I like...
It was before Crohn's.
Okay. Pre-Crohn's, gym had closed...
It was an in-between phase where you were at the house down south.
Okay.
Training in your garden.
Yeah.
Occasionally come and lift with me.
Yeah, okay.
But you weren't really doing much. And you were doing a lot of yoga and I think you were training with Fitz. You were doing some calisthenic stuff. And I remember conversation.
I was ill when I was doing both those things. Very, very much so. And a couple of the, yeah. I mean,
It was before you were diagnosed, maybe. Maybe, because we'll talk about that as well in a bit. But you said on the podcast that you felt that you were weak from just doing calisthenics and yoga.
Yeah, in comparison to that. I mean, like I see some of the stuff you're doing now, which I would have been doing with you.
Yeah.
Like forever, how long that was ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago.
Probably more than that, but yeah.
Yeah, I can't even fathom doing that stuff now. Like, there's a video floating around of me doing 160 kilo.
That was sick.
Stone for two reps over a yoke, and like, I'd be surprised if I could pick up a 100 kilo stone. But it's not. But like, I would have been gutted back then. It's not really.
Yeah, but last time you spoke about it was, it's interesting because last time you spoke about it, you said I am now aware because you have been so strong.
Yeah.
You were aware that you were weak and you felt that you were too weak.
Yeah.
How do you feel like that anymore? What do you think about like?
I don't feel too weak now.
What do you feel like the concept of being weak?
I feel like I'm stronger than most people,
and that's all that's necessary.
I don't even feel well. Maybe because I have it, I don't feel like it's necessary. I just have it. I feel like I have the ability to it. To do it, but I've built that base. I understand that. I'm not just like I'm walking around like that as if I hadn't done it.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean?
If you hadn't put all of those years in trying to get really strong,
yeah,
you wouldn't be.
I'm a product of everything I've done with my body.
Sure.
Good and bad.
Yeah.
I'm noticing it now. It's like quite interesting to see this conversation. Maybe I don't know if we spoke about it in the other two. Is so I'm 39 now, and now I'm really starting to feel like I'm like. Losing youthful attributes. They're just slipping away from me, and no matter how much I chase them,
like what,
just like everything, just an overall like just dropping a level and everything.
You feel like you're getting older
physically,
but did you feel like
and Like I have no idea what like a what the an average 39-year-old feels like.
Sure.
Because I mean, I feel like
probably I'm, worse
yeah.
than you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
I can hang with like mid-20-year-old.
Did you feel like when you were 35? Did you feel like you were aging?
No,
I felt, really?
That's probably when I felt on prime.
Really?
Yeah, mid-30s.
Makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I'm 30 this year.
I mean, lots happened between then and now.
Sure.
Physically. But mid-30s, I felt like just unstoppable. But you haven't been beaten down yet. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? When you feel invincible.
So, okay, let's use that as a segue, shall we? To you being beaten down, you said that you were ill, and then do you remember when you got diagnosed?
I don't remember exactly when I got diagnosed,
because you just had like you had like a fucked up stomach for like,
yeah, I just had diarrhea
9 months.
I had before diarrhea for months and months and months. Mm,
and sometimes it was super bad.
I just like didn't really pay attention to it, to be quite honest. Or I don't know, now thinking about it, Rich probably shut it out and just didn't focus on it. Yeah, left it for ages. Long story short, ended up getting a colonoscopy and got diagnosed with Crohn's disease.
And it was brutal.
Yeah, it was fast. It hit me fast. I didn't really know what it is. But basically, I went from being about 114 at my heaviest kilos down to 79 kilos in a year, less than a year.
That's mental.
Less than a year. And again...
Just think about 115 kilos yeah. to 79 kilos.
Yeah, shoom, just started coming off me. And then, again, long story short, ended up having a surgery where I had a foot of my bowel removed.
Mm.
So I now have that. I now have less body than I did last time I spoke to you. Mm. and the recovery from that was interesting. In my mind, because I'm watching the body. Like, I was supposed to be bedbound, so they basically cut through my abdominal wall and everything, yeah. Right? So that's all got to take a long time to heal. And then I had all of the when you have something like that, I lost more weight after the surgery,
yeah,
because your body is like uses up so many calories trying to recover, sure. Right? Just trying to fix everything. Something so traumatic. I was I looked like a Auschwitz patient, mm. like at one point. Bear the comparison of that, but like, yeah, it's, you know, that's what it looked like. It looked like a concentration camp.
Yeah, yeah. You looked. Well, I guess like the problem that you had when you.
Well, do you know what? I was unaware of it. Do you know what? I thought I was all right because I was doing okay. So afterwards, everybody said to me, "Oh, you look so much better." Mm. I was like, "Well, you didn't say that. You never told me I looked bad."
Yeah, those are good friends,
because,
right?
Because actually, the when I ended up going for the emergency surgery, you dropped me off at the hospital. So like, you saw me, like. So that I ended up having that surgery that night. So in kind of theory, maybe 48 hours, 72 hours from that point, I would have been dead, right? Mm. I don't know what I looked like. I was basically dying in front of you, wasn't I?
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time with you over that period. Mm. So I've spent a lot of time with you full stop, over the years in general. But I had spent a lot of time seeing you sort of... through the 9 months that you were ill before surgery, getting thinner, and you look, I think it's one of those things where you get used to anyone, how they are.
Yeah. So, I mean, I was good. I never thought anything about it, 'cause it was just every day you see yourself or whatever.
Yeah. That's steady.
Yeah.
Degression. Yeah. Degression. Yeah. Whatever the opposite of progression is. So you, and this, I guess we haven't really gone too much into this, but you kind of got real close to, I guess you got close to death. You sort of had to think about your mortality for a little bit there. Did that ever come into it?
Yeah, 100%. That was one of my, there was a point, I was in the house on my own, I was sitting down, and I remember like it came over me like a wave, like it just like, I'm like, I could die. I thought about it. Definitely thought about it. This could take me. This could finish me. I thought about how I was thinking about my wife and my kids, and like, what do I need to do? How do I make sure that everything's all right in case this happens. I thought about the worst case scenario and just went from there.
Yeah, and that's something that not a lot of people ever have to deal with. Obviously, there's lots of people that do deal with it, but I think that's quite a unique experience to, or at the very least for the first time, that you really have to face like a real, not just a fear of dying at some arbitrary point in the future, but like you're standing and you can see, if you squint, you can see the Grim Reaper just there. I had to kind of
like visualize like, okay, what's going to happen if I'm not here?
How did that feel? How's that changed you?
I don't know.
Really?
I just went like, okay, all the realization of it, like, okay, what's the next step now? I just go like that. And I've kind of just done that. Always done that.
Just crack on.
What have I got to do next?
Is that the overarching philosophy?
I don't know. Next maybe. Step? Yeah. I spoke about this a little with someone the other day. That I had the quote in my mind that was a Winston Churchill quote that was, if you're going through hell, just keep going.
Keep going.
And for some reason, that was just like the one that I like noticed during that time the most and was stuck in my head. I don't know.
That's interesting.
I was always confident. I was always confident. I never thought I was out.
Do you think that sort of, that's like a winner's that's like mentality?
I do the same thing on the mat as well. I'm like, that's my style. I like defend right until the end.
But always hopeful.
No, my plan is I'll take you at the end, right at the very end when I've lost. Like, you got me everything. I'll take it at the last minute.
You just lost your strategy to anyone you can beat.
It barely ever works. It barely ever works. That's what you're just telling yourself when you're getting beaten up constantly, right?
Yeah.
Just you wait. At last second, I'm going to get you.
Might not work today. It might not work tomorrow.
That's the mentality, right?
But one day.
It's going to come.
One day it's going to come.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure definitely it's affected my, to be honest, the whole experience has affected everything about my life, just in the way that I go about my day, essentially. I'm just like, I can't even articulate what it is, to be honest, right now.
Yeah, I understand that a lot of the time you just, these are sort of abstract emotions or ways of living that you can't really quantify in words. So I do understand that. But yeah, it's interesting.
I could say some stuff, but I wouldn't do it justice.
Sure. Yeah. It's one of those things like you had to be there. But even just purely from a physical perspective, what was it like to be stripped of something that you know to be a not even just say a strong man, but literally a competitive strong man and be stripped of. And I think for you, you were probably lucky with the timing that it was when it was and wasn't 2 years earlier when you were balls deep in strongman, because there was a time where being strong was your identity.
Well, that was part of that. I think it was part of it. It was part of like, I had to shed that. Like, even the conversation then when I had with you, like, I felt weak. Like, it was important.
Yeah.
Like I had to kind of shed that whole thing. Which is maybe that's like one of the things you sort of see yourself, and I don't know whether it's an age thing or that, you do see yourself like you're not, I don't identify with any one thing that I do. You know how, like I said about you're Dan, you're the jiu-jitsu guy, right? Rather than like, you're Dan, you do jiu-jitsu.
Sure.
Like it's just a project I'm doing, it's just a thing I do. I'm like, I'm me, and then all these other things are something else.
Yeah, I definitely see the potential pitfalls of aligning your identity with one individual thing. I guess I would say that I, even though I would say grappling is the core of who I am.
But the thing is, what if it was gone?
I know. Yeah. But I'm lucky that I have other things as well,
exactly.
The lifting stuff and like other things.
That's important. That's
but
important.
But I think there's a lot of people out there who don't. And especially top level jiu-jitsu guys who don't have anything else outside of that. And I think, I had this conversation with Nick Gregoriadis actually at one point. And if you connect yourself with one thing, if you make that a really important part of your identity, and then for whatever reason that is stripped from you, you feel like your entire soul has been taken from you.
Yeah, I didn't feel that bad. But like, it did make me like, okay, that's not, I don't need that. It doesn't define me in any way.
The being strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Mate, when you were going through it terrified me. Legitimately, yeah, I remember at the time.
I now, again, afterwards, I'm like also more aware of the effect it had on everybody around me.
Mm. But like purely in a selfish way, obviously I was very worried for you as a friend, but I was like, fuck, like if this happened to me, I wouldn't take it as well as Andy's taking this.
If everyone says that, you
just have to do it.
Yeah, you'd probably do the same thing, right? If something happened, like if you lost your leg, what would you do? What, are you going to just sit around like...
What's that film where you put a gun on the leg?
Yeah, exactly. So already you're like, okay, how can I turn this into a positive, right?
Yeah.
It's just that I think it's just a mindset. You probably like, we gravitate to like-minded people, so sure. We probably will think like that, which is why we think other people, it doesn't make sense why other people don't.
Yeah, okay, I get that. Okay, fast forwarding back to today. So strength and conditioning wise, you don't really do a lot.
During this lockdown period, this is what we're in now, if this gets listened to later, but like I've been doing more just because I like, I am generally physical all the time.
Yeah.
But I just see it as like, I've got this like idea of active living is my thing. It's like what I'm trying to do. So like just this week, for example, it's what, Saturday today. So Monday, what did I do? I can't remember.
It's what happens when you get to almost 40, isn't it?
I can't remember what I did Monday, but Tuesday I did martial arts, like hard. We trained hard. Grappling. Wednesday I did wrestling hard. Thursday I did, like, I went for a bike ride for about 2 hours. And I'm spending more time with the kids towards the weekend, and I'm playing like football for an hour and a half. I'm playing basketball. I'm throwing and catching. During the week, I also did two track sessions where I'm doing sprint intervals at 6:30 in the morning. Over the course of a week, I'm doing a lot of stuff.
Mm.
I like do, my body does a lot of stuff. I'm like also hiking a lot and climbing up things, and like I always try and find the hardest way to get around something, like just challenge myself.
That's like implementing activity into your lifestyle,
just,
opposed to,
I just call it active living, right? So like I'm just,
it's like less, it's less focused than training.
But I'm able to do a lot of stuff. I'm not great at any of those things. Like I get smashed at grappling, I get smashed at wrestling. If I went to a climbing club, I would be the worst guy at the climbing club, you know, unless you're the total beginner. You know what I mean? I'm not like, I can just like do all these things. I feel great. Like I feel like I can do anything, obviously. And I never feel tired or beat up, or I have to do all the still basic maintenance things where I use things like yoga. I meditate. I do basic mobility drills and things like that. I have like a series of smart warm-ups that I use in my, that are like a kind of almost like a syllabus in my head. But that's inbuilt from 20, I've probably been training for longer than 20 years, but like, no. So like, to me, it all seems like this is just normal things that I do, but they're like habits that I built up over 20 years, right? So like, when you say, like, what do you do for strength condition? I'm like, I don't do anything. But then when you say it like that.
But I think that it is important to differentiate the difference.
Whereas like a lot of people will spend, like how many hours you spend in a seated position or how many hours you spend in sedentary? Like I'm really not.
Yeah.
I'm really not.
Yeah. But it's, when I asked you do any strength and conditioning work, you say no, but I do something that isn't, it doesn't.
I live actively.
Yeah. It doesn't qualify in like that relatively maybe small bracket of strength and conditioning focused, with very intention to build strength or condition your body in a certain way, but you're just doing that through more
in my life,
active lifestyle. So that's for you personally, and obviously you do that for whatever reason is you, but obviously you're still coaching people. So how do you, like, what, where's your head at in terms of your coaching philosophy?
I just
for
take
other
a really
people
pragmatic attitude of what attribute do they need to develop, and as simple as that. And there's different modalities to develop different attributes, and there's different modalities that suit different people and personality types, and you just have to find that out over the course of, so what I'm actually more interested in, and we kind of spoke about this earlier in the week, is actual, the art of coaching.
Yeah.
Like, to me, all that other stuff is easy.
Yeah, I can't remember the name. It's like, there's a name for the, like, the science of coaching. Yeah.
Like, they're actually making people perform better or be healthier or what stuff. Like, it's very simple in my mind. Mm. It makes it's easy. But again, it's just like, because I've spent a long, I'm essentially like, I'm not saying I have, but like, it's mastery in one area almost. Kind
sure,
of
yeah.
Do you see what I mean? I'm not saying that I have done that, but like, more so than some other people, right?
Yeah, like how people would identify me as a jiu-jitsu person, they'd identify you as a S&C coach.
I've essentially dedicated my entire life to coaching, learning this stuff, right? So it's not really my interest. Yeah. I'm able to do it. I'm more interested in what I can get out of somebody, techniques of getting things out of someone.
Yeah, so go on.
Well, I'm in the process of doing it, but like I've started getting a lot into the psychology of it.
Yeah,
dealing with people, motivating people, manipulating people to a certain extent.
Yeah,
like influencing, we'll call it instead.
That sounds less sinister.
Yeah.
I guess that there's a. You have an individual that you're trying to deliver a message to.
And do you know what? A lot of it, the more you research it and the more you practice it and the more that kind of stuff, a lot of it I realized I was doing some of that by accident anyway.
Like
probably had naturally was in me, which is probably why I'm
interested. You've been training people for 15, 20 years or whatever.
It is interesting. It is really interesting. You can really get a lot out of some people with some really simple stuff.
Mm. So go on then. Like what? Like give an example.
You know
what?
It's subtle things. Like obviously when you like learning about it, like you've been learning. If you read a book about negotiation, you've got like you've got like the book will give you specific things.
Yeah.
But in reality, when you're out in the world and things are moving like jiu-jitsu, like you've got a kind of that
adapt
that principle will come into your mind, and you're not even come into your mind, but it might just come out of you because you've learned it or whatever. However your brain works. So it's more like that. It's just like things that I kind of, a lot of it's just getting to know someone, like really getting to know someone, understanding what they want and why they want it. Because a lot of people don't know. So a lot of the beginning process is that.
See, this is where you and me, we were in the park, social distancing, a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago. You, me, and one of our mutual friends who we were trying to coax out what she wanted from training. Mm-hmm. And you said she doesn't know what she wants. Mm. And I don't believe that that's true. I think that everyone knows what they want. But I think that people will say that they don't know what they want, or either they'll consciously know and they won't vocalize it because they didn't be embarrassed, or it makes it a real thing or stuff like that.
I think for some people it takes a little bit of soul searching. I think some people are just kind of like on a kind of, I don't know, like an autopilot path.
I don't know. Maybe. I believe that when you say soul searching, I get it, but I believe that they can find the answer by literally asking the question.
But there's a lot of people, right, who have gone through, you get put into education, they go through the education system, and then whether they want to do it or whether it's pressure from parents, they go into the higher education system and come out of there, and then, okay, I've now qualified in this particular thing, I have to go and get a job in this thing, and you get to your mid, like you go through all that stuff, you get to like your 30s, and you're like, okay, like what now? And I think you've seen that with a few people that we know.
Yeah, of course.
Like, cause I see it a lot because I'm older, so I've gone through and come out the other side, right? You see that a lot. You see that with a lot of people, and it's the how do we get to this route?
Doesn't matter,
because that was my point.
Oh, okay. We're talking whether people know what they want.
Yeah.
But
you're saying like, but everyone knows what they want. They know what they want.
Yeah, right? I think
some people
that.
Are just like zoom. They just like kind of get spat out of a cannon. They find themselves at like 30 odd, and they're like, okay, well, shit. What am I doing? What do I want to do? Because I've done everything I was supposed to do up to this point. I've got a job.
Yeah.
I've bought a house. I've met a partner, or whatever the thing is that you're like probably been raised to believe is the thing you're supposed to do.
Doesn't everyone have like a dream?
No.
Really?
No.
Really?
There's a big problem. That's like one of the big things, I think, of like, you know how they say that like just white middle class men are just like murdering themselves because they feel like worthless and they've got nothing to live for and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's like all that. They just don't, they literally don't have, they don't want anything, or they haven't, they can't, what are they, what am I here for?
Hmm. Interesting.
But again, it's, this is what, this is, so this is some of the stuff. Like, again, I think like you.
Yeah.
But so, but so you need to read about books about people who think differently.
Read about people who don't have dreams. Sounds like a shitty book.
Well, just people who have a different personality. But surely, like,
you can hate your life or not be satisfied with your life or not feel that you have a purpose. But surely in there, there's like, when you close your eyes and you dream about you being able to manipulate a fantasy world to how you like it, you're going to be doing something.
I think some people are just dreaming about Saturday night.
Really?
Just getting a Saturday night.
Man, I'd really, it's definitely something that I...
Getting a Friday, that's it, I've got...
Since we had that conversation, it's something that I pondered, and it's definitely something that I'm going to continue to ponder and try and answer that question to myself as time goes by, because I'm not sure.
Of what you want or what other people think?
No, what other people want.
You think everybody knows what they want?
I think everyone, if they don't know consciously... but don't want to vocalize it, they know subconsciously and they just got to bounce the idea off.
Yeah. I think it takes some thought.
But yeah, but I mean, like, they ask themselves what they want and they can tell you. If they really, yeah. Honestly.
I bet if you went out now and asked 100 people that you walked past what they wanted, I bet most of them would say they don't.
But I think the issue is in your ability to get the information out of them, not their inability to have that answer.
But that's kind of the same thing. It's like, they need to like sit down and think about it and like, what it is that I want? What am I trying to like? They need to be able to visualize it.
I think
they need to be able to kind of see it.
I could be talking shit here. I'm not. This is like nothing that I've read. This is nothing that I've studied. This is just what I believe. Yeah. And you're absolutely right that I could be completely off of this because it's just not how I am.
Yeah.
I get that. But I think that when people, if you were to say something, what would you want if you could have anything? What would you want? Or what would you want to be? Or what would you want your purpose to be? Someone who has to sit and think, they don't have to think.
I think that, well, most people would just go off of like a superficial thing straight away. But then that's what they really want. Their whole life would be like, that's all they would be happy with and they're done.
Yeah, but
no,
I guess...
It's not.
No, because there's a big disconnection between what you want and the things that you have to do to achieve that.
If you're saying, if you ask someone, they just give you an answer. That's the kind of thing they would say. They would give you a shallow answer.
Okay, so when we're talking about this, we're talking more specifically about what people want out of their body and what people that want out of their training, right? Because that's how we got onto this. Okay, so when we're talking...
So we're talking about physical goals.
Yes. Okay. Like, I understand, like, obviously there's other stuff and you go like, what do you want? You're like, oh, I want to be a billionaire. And obviously it's just like pointless. Yeah, sure, whatever. But I think with physical goals, essentially everything's... No one's going to say something that isn't relatively easily attainable, right?
Hmm.
Obviously, they can say stuff that isn't realistic.
Like, I want to fly or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or like, I want to be Mr. Olympia and you're like 56 years old and you've never lifted before. Could happen.
Never say never.
Yeah, I know, but you get the idea.
Yeah,
But I think when it comes to that, I think a lot of people, if you were to ask someone, what do they want? I think everyone knows what they want. Whether they want to be leaner, whether they want to be stronger, whether they want to be able to run faster, whether they want to be healthier.
Well, it's most people who just want to feel confident in themselves, or I imagine. It's difficult to empathize with, isn't it? It's difficult to empathize with because it's just so automatic in your mind.
Yeah, but I think that's why social skills and your ability to interact with an individual is a really important aspect of
empathy
coaching.
Empathy is a huge part of it. Just being able to like, okay, I put myself in your shoes and like, just I understand that it's just trying to find what's the real trigger, what's the real thing that's actually going to make you do this. Make you make the change you need to make to get the thing you want, which is the why you come to see someone like me in the first place, right?
Yeah.
It's not I'll give you a workout and a diet to do and you're done. It's like you need to change the way you think.
Yeah, so this is the other thing that we've spoken a lot about what you're doing with clients at the moment, which is giving a more systemic change to their lifestyle than simply giving them a... Because the basic stuff that you'd ask for if you want to get in shape would be, give me a program. Obviously, like, how many times have you had someone ask you for a program?
Well, people ask me for a program. Say you get a guy and he comes to you and he's like, I want to be stronger. okay, like I can guarantee you'll be stronger in 12 months. It's not a problem. That's very easy. Let's like, I don't even want you to pay me for that. I can tell you how to do that.
Sure.
It's very, very easy. But are you going to do it? Are you going to keep it like, that's the thing. It's so easy. If you need to come and get some motivation to come and get stronger, that's not the problem, is it?
Man, that's opening up a whole other can of worms, isn't it?
Yeah.
Which is like, why do people go to the coaches? Mm. Is it for motivation? Is it for knowledge? Is it because they need someone that hold them accountable?
There's lots of things. Like,
there's information out there.
There's lots of things. There's a lot more to it. There's a lot more to
it. Careful, if we go too far down this, no one will ever want to get a personal trainer before. Yeah. Again.
In my mind, I see like a personal trainer that you go to at a gym that stands with you while you work out and counts your sets and reps. It's like a white belt personal trainer.
Mm.
Like you don't need someone to do that.
No. That's someone who just lacks motivation.
Yeah, they're best. Yeah, but the thing is, if the person's good, they should be able to motivate you to do the workout anyway. Because the reality is, if you have to come and see someone for, say, for instance, you go 3 times a week. So 3 hours a week, you have someone stand over you and motivate you. It's going to do nothing. Because what are you doing for the rest of the hours of the week?
It will do more than if they didn't do anything.
I understand that. But like, if you really want something.
But you say, it's interesting you use the analogy of a white belt, because you're absolutely right. That's the equivalent of white belt. And a white belt will be the most... Everyone's a white belt, right? So that's going to...
How many people don't get results? It doesn't work out. How many people like have tried 100 things, it doesn't work? How many people buy all the next gimmick, the next diet, the next piece of equipment?
Okay. You put some things in my head, they need to swirl around there a little bit. Because I was going to say, obviously, if someone does... go to a personal trainer to watch them walk on a treadmill for 3 hours a week.
I've been there, mate, so I'm not like...
Yeah. You think they are going to get results, but you're right. Maybe those are the people who stop doing that after 6 months because their results plateau because they're not actually getting any help. They're just having someone help them walk on a treadmill.
Yeah. Just paying for... Some people do that. They just pay for someone, have someone to talk to while they're in the gym.
I think loads of people do that.
Yeah.
Loads of people do that. The majority of people do that. A vast majority. I said like 90% of people do that.
There's something wrong. Like obviously there's a certain amount of the population that obviously will need that service. But if you have to go and pay someone to walk in a building, to walk on a treadmill on the same spot, and you'll pay somebody God knows how many much an hour to make sure you do it. And you can't figure out that you can just go for a walk outside. Like, there's like, that's a fundamental
problem with your mindset.
Your head, there's something wrong with your mind if you think.
So how do you fix that?
Well, everyone's different. Everyone's different. But there's like processes and just giving them ideas and just like, people just don't. So I sent you the thing, like I've got like an evaluation system. People just don't understand what it is they're trying to get to. What is like, what is
a healthy lifestyle?
What's the basic?
Yeah.
What's the basics? You know, because we're naive to the fact these people don't know.
Yeah,
like they wouldn't do it if it didn't work. Like people will have a fat free product, or a low sugar product, and it sells. Like people buy it, and they wouldn't be making those products if people didn't buy it. So you know that most people are buying them. It's a huge business, right?
Yeah,
like it's just.
Tricking people who are ignorant to the reality.
Into eating like food that gets them addicted to or whatever. Like there's, you know,
they have like a low fat yogurt that's stuffed with sugar.
To you and me, like the idea of food in your mind, you just go, okay, it's like vegetables and animals and grains and things that grow in the ground and things that I can like. Food.
Yeah.
Like as if you lived in a forest, right?
Yeah.
That's what you see in your mind. Where some people, that's like, foreign to them completely.
So you've got a evaluation of like the real basic stuff, which is sleeping, water, nutrition,
hydration,
walking, nutrition, stuff like that.
Yeah, walking's like that's the. I want to come to the gym every 3 times a week to do this. Well, do you walk ever? That's the first thing. Can you even walk? And there's a lot to walk in when you like really get into it. Because again, like you know what I'm like. Like I'm like, how does my foot strike the floor? What should my breathing pattern be? What's my posture when I'm doing this? Like I'm like everything, I go a bit further than you're supposed to so that I can teach you, right? Yeah, like walking's the basics. That's your basic human function.
Yeah, but let's talk about motivation for a minute. Because this is, every single person will, and I genuinely believe everyone, even the most motivated person out there, everyone out there will not do something that they want to do. Right? They'll have something that they will want to do.
Uh-huh. And just don't do it.
And they don't do it.
Yeah. They probably don't really want to do it. Or I tell you what I've discovered, one of the biggest problems is people don't like being crap or something. They don't like failing. They don't like, that's the whole thing about being closed-minded, right? So you can being open-minded is growth mindset is that you can do anything, right?
Yeah.
But you've got to be really shit at it. You've got to fuck up. You've got to be stage one. You've got to be stage one to get to stage two.
Yeah.
To get to stage 10, to get to stage 100, right?
Yeah,
People don't like it.
I get that. And I do understand
what you're saying. For instance, like you learn to do a Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
And you're just like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do this first time. I'll go through the process of it until I can do it. And once you'll be like, I can't do that.
Mm.
And they can't deal with it. They can't deal with the fact that they can't do it.
Mm.
And they don't understand. They don't even understand the process, how processes work.
Mm.
Okay, if I just pick up again and do it for 10 minutes, and then I pick up for 10 minutes tomorrow and do it for 10 minutes, that in 3 weeks I'll be able to do it.
Yeah.
They don't understand that. They don't like, they can't deal with the like shame of not being able to do it the first time.
Even if that's just internal, even if that's not shame given by anyone else, that's not like, I understand.
Yeah, it's just like, I can't deal with that. I couldn't do that.
Because I understand someone not wanting to start a jiu-jitsu class or do a sport with other people involved because they don't want to be.
What's the main reason is I don't feel like I'm fit enough, or I don't feel like, I don't want to get hurt, I don't want to get beaten up. Well, I don't want to be crap at it. I don't want to I don't understand what they're saying.
Yeah, no. I understand it with
you
that.
You have to do that.
Yeah,
I
understand it with.
You have to be that person.
Yeah, I understand it with doing stuff like that because there are other people. Like shame is such a big thing, and being embarrassed is such a like visceral feeling that all humans have. And you've got to be able to, you know, in people's ego, you know, you might come from doing another martial art and they don't want to feel like they've wasted.
It's all ego. That's the whole thing. Like,
but when you're doing it, that's a different thing from you not being able to do something and only you knowing that you can't do it and still not wanting to be crap at it.
Yeah, but this, the process of whatever it is you need to change in your lifestyle or whatever it is, like I've tried eating well, I can't do it. Of course you can't do it because it's not a habit to you right now. Like you're gonna eat one good meal and then eat shit meals, then you're gonna take a broader look at it. So like how many, let's break into meals, how many healthy meals have you eaten in the last month compared to the 2 months prior to that? I've eaten 7 this month and I ate none the month before that. Progress. Next, like, take a broader look at it.
Okay, so does that come down to you have to quantify everything?
You just have to not, like, don't expect to be good at anything. Don't expect to be able to do it.
Yeah, but when you're talking about, I think you're talking about yet another thing here, which is something like, it's not trying to start a task that no one else is going to see but you. It's not like going to try a new sport that lots of other people are going to see as well as you. This is doing something that you do already and you just have to change the way that you do it. People lack the motivation to go for a walk. People lack the motivation to wake up early in the morning.
Yeah, but they don't want to go through the discomfort. They don't want to go through the, whether it's like, mentally, like I can't do that, or like, oh my, it hurts my calves.
Okay, let's go with food. Let's go with food because that's the one. That's like the main one. Everyone eats shit food sometimes.
Yeah.
Some people eat a lot more shit food.
Yeah.
Like changing what you eat is one. Like for the most part, you have almost entire the absolute control over what you put into your body.
Yeah.
But so many people fall at that first hurdle.
Well, part of it's they don't know, like we said. But I think
most people know.
But
people know eating a tub of ice cream.
They're denying. They're not there. They obviously like in denial. Well, I don't know. I don't know what healthy eating is. You know that an apple is better than a chocolate bar, right?
Everyone knows that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's in your DNA. I don't know if it is, but like it is, isn't it? Like you.
It's definitely.
But then again, you and me know that.
No, everyone knows that.
You assume.
Everyone knows.
You
that.
Assume.
No. Nobody thinks that. Society tells us what's healthy and what's
postcards?
Not.
We get them to send postcards in. Tell me if you know.
Just hold up two pieces of food, an ice cream and an apple. Yeah. Point at the healthy one. No. Everyone knows that there's that is such a obvious
fundamental
one. That's such a fundamental one that human, people know that. Like, I don't think that's
instinct.
I don't think it's instinct.
What, that like this food is real and this food is not?
I actually would say the complete opposite. Okay. But this is, we're going to get way off topic, but I actually believe that if you if you had someone who had nothing in their brain and they hadn't been taught anything, they would eat the ice cream over the apple, because if you take it from
You know what, my granddad's got Alzheimer's and they have to remind him to eat. Even it's not even instinct for him to eat. That's not quite the same thing, is it?
No. But and the reason for that is, and this is the reason we have a sugar problem.
You said if someone had an empty brain, which is kind of what
This is why the whole world has a sugar problem. Sugar is addictive.
It's in everything.
Yeah, but why is sugar addictive? I can tell you, there's an answer why.
Because it's your body's built into to like be lazy and get the...
No, it's not lazy. Because before we could produce sugar like we produce it, out in the wilderness, mm-hmm. when we're foraging, if you found something like honey...
Yeah, of course.
That's going to... gold. It's gold.
Yeah.
So we are... it's built in our DNA to love ice cream.
Yeah.
Literally. And not care about like to rank ice cream and sugar and honey above meat and vegetables and stuff like that.
But most of these things are man-made, and we've had to learn over generations that these things aren't good for us. Like, we wouldn't have known that when we first started having that stuff.
But that's what I'm saying. I don't want to get too much off and hand in there, but actually it's society that teaches us that apples are good and ice cream is bad.
We're like generations away from like the Industrial Revolution, and we're just like sort of finding out all of the awful shit that we can do to ourselves with this industrialization.
So why do people have, like, how do you stop someone from going for the ice cream and going for the apple instead?
Because they know they should.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
how do you stop them?
Yeah. Like, what is the mind? Because I have something that I...
Do you know what? Do you know what works?
Go on.
Is phasing it out. Just like slowly phasing it out. So what, like, some people, when you get people to be really honest and open up and tell you what they're doing, like, some people will sit and eat a tub of Nutella with a spoon.
And they'll eat super healthy, 3 meals a day. And then...
Every night, they'll have a tub of Nutella at night.
That's extreme.
Yeah, stuff like that. So... I was like, phase it out. Swap something like that. Or if you're ice cream or something like that, swap it for...
Healthy alternative.
No. Just swap it for a bowl of Cocoa Pops.
That's a healthy alternative.
It's not healthy. It's still riddled with sugar and stuff.
Is it in the right direction of healthy?
Well, yeah. But listen, but probably a whole box of Cocoa Pops is less calories in one tub of Nutella, right?
Okay.
And just phase it out. I've used that. It works.
So what you're talking about is transitioning everyone's bad habits.
You can also teach people to be more conscious of their thoughts and their
actions. Impulses.
Yeah. You can do that.
Go on.
It takes longer.
Go on.
Well, you have to like meditation is a hard sell.
Yeah.
To get someone to really do it and focus on it. But like...
Meditation is a good example of something that I want to do that I don't do.
Yeah. You just have to just start doing it. Honestly, just start doing it.
Cool.
Use that Sam Harris app's good. The Waking Up app.
Okay.
Just do the course. Okay. The introductory course.
Okay.
Because he like explains it.
I think in almost every single podcast I've ever done, I've said gonna stop meditation soon.
Just do it.
So I'm gonna start that soon.
Soon, just do it.
I'll do it today. Tonight.
Just do it after this.
Okay.
Just press play. Listen to it.
Let's see how that goes on our 3-year catch up. go on.
What?
You're talking about being more aware of your impulses.
Yeah, you can teach people to be more like aware of their consciousness, and then and.
But what you're talking about is meditation.
Yeah, that helps. That helps a lot with witnessing your flaws.
Okay, I get that.
And then it depends on your mindset, but I don't really know, but. You can face them and do something about them, I suppose.
Mm. I find for me, you've read Atomic Habits, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was that book where he talks about every single thing that you do is a vote in the ballot of who you want to be, right? Every single thing. Go to bed early, wake up early.
What kind of person am I?
You know, have a cold shower, do your meditation.
Am I the kind of person when no one's looking, I'll skulk around and go and buy a big bag of sweets and
eat a donut.
Am I that kind of person?
Yeah. Skip a training session. Every single thing that you do is a vote in that. And I'm talking everything. You pick up a glass of water, you're voting, putting one vote in the ballot of someone
who I'm a hydrated man.
Yeah, I'm a hydrated man. This is who I want to be.
I'm a motherfucking hydrated man. Yeah. Check me out.
Yeah. And then like later that night, you're not feeling so great. And you're putting a vote in the ballot of...
You get on the gin.
I'm a fat motherfucker. I'm eating a whole pizza tonight.
Yeah.
Whole pizza to myself.
Yeah.
You know? Using that is what I found to be one of the most... powerful ways to stop me doing things and to make me do things. Every time like I go to the cupboard and I reach for the chocolate.
Okay, so this is good. So that means that you have visualized who you want to be, what kind of person you want to be. You have that in your mind.
Yeah.
You know what it is. You know what values you want. You know what it is you want people to think of you.
And you're going to say people, not everyone has that. See, I disagree. I disagree. I think that if you grab anyone as they're reaching for a pizza and you go, look at me in the eyes. Do you want to be someone who eats pizza? Is that who you want to be as a person? They'll go, no.
But then you go away and they'll come back around again and they'll break.
Yes, but they'll know what they want. And I think only when you frame it. Who do you want to be?
Yeah.
Do you want to be someone who drinks every night? Do you want to be someone who runs every night?
A lot of these things are coping mechanisms, aren't they? For like something else that they're not ready to face.
Mm.
Like, why do you drink? Why do you have to like exercise or whatever?
Fuck.
Do you know what I mean? Why do you have to do that? But like,
let's not go there.
No, but it depends on.
I don't know. I might have some deep-seated shit.
No, but you might be genuinely exercising because you want to be stronger, right? But some people might just be like, "Why do I want to be stronger? Suffer. I just need to make myself suffer."
Yeah,
you see that a lot.
Yeah, you see
that a lot. That's not uncommon at all.
That's not self-punishment.
Mm. Just like fuck the pain away.
Interesting.
It is interesting. That's why I got to just go down a rabbit hole with it. Because it's like just the
human side. People do things.
Yeah, why do people do that then? Mm-hmm. And how can I change that?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's it. I think
I haven't mastered it. I'm just like, I'm on that journey.
Yeah.
I've done things that genuinely work and I practice it all. Like it's like anything. You get better through practice. I practice it often.
Do you think if you practice not eating shit food, you get better at not eating shit food?
Yeah, of course. It's reps. That's like most things, isn't it?
Anything that's hard, understand that if you do it lots, it will be less hard.
Yeah.
It sounds obvious, but like...
It is. You want to get good at lifting the sandbag. Just come lift the sandbag.
Yeah, but that's obvious.
Yeah.
That's kind of the analogy.
Yeah, but it's like if you say... So like you said earlier, like someone just, I want to be a billionaire. Well, do you know what you got to do? You've got to just learn how to become a billionaire. You just like... There's other billionaires.
Yeah.
There's books. There's like... Just go and study. Go and study economics and go and study business and go and study all the things that they know.
Yeah.
And you will know how to do that.
Mm.
You can do that, but people don't want to do that.
Mm. Mm. Interesting. Let's move on, and I'm just gonna find another question of you, which is gonna be what is something that you believed in the past and don't believe now? I think this is such an interesting question. Might not be enough time for you to actually think
like
about
a Santa
anything
Claus.
Could be anything. I guess
that's a good answer.
I guess more when it comes to the stuff that people
when
come
I
to you.
When my daughter came to me and told me she didn't, she had, is Santa Claus real? I know Santa Claus isn't real, but she obviously needed confirmation because she wasn't, she's like, pretty sure it wasn't real. But
she got to test this hypothesis.
But she was like, Dad, come on, is it? I don't think he's real. But
is he
real?
But tell me.
So I was like, no, he isn't real. She's like, okay. I knew that. She wasn't even bothered.
So then
you break down how to, then she's like in her mind like breaking down, okay, how does it work? So like, eat the mince pie and like drink the thing? I'm like, yeah. and I ate the carrot. And she hadn't realized that Rudolph wasn't real yet. So I ate the carrot. And you could see her just go,
whoa. wait. Hold up, Dad. Oh. Reindeers don't fly.
What? It's okay, so I'm all right with the Santa thing, but Rudolph isn't real. Oh my God. My day, help me. Thing to bed.
Santa Claus is a really weird thing when you think about it, isn't it? Mm. We like. There's a universal agreement for every parent.
There's so many things. There's so many things
that we just lie.
My son goes to Roman Catholic school. My youngest son goes to Roman Catholic school because it was the local primary school. And the first thing he learned was like the Mother, the Son, the Holy Ghost. It's the first thing you learn.
Yeah.
Like he talks about it. He like believes in Jesus and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, it's crazy. But I'm like, this is going to be like Father Christmas. At some point, he's going to just like find out it's not real. Or he gets to the point where he's been presented with all the facts and has the ability
and
to
decides that that's the
and he decides he's wants to believe it. And he's his own man. He can do whatever the hell he likes.
Mm.
But at the moment, I'm assuming that he'll just like come to his senses at some age.
Tread carefully there, Andrew. what is something, going back to that, you know, Santa Claus and religion aside, they're very big topics, one more so than the other. What is something that you believed, like a principle that you believed in the past that you, in hindsight, think that you were wrong? I always think this is an interesting question because
in general life?
No, in training specifically.
I don't know, everything. Just like everything.
That's a shit
everything,
answer.
Everything that I would have done originally. It doesn't matter. It almost doesn't matter like what you do. It doesn't really matter what you do. At the end of the day, think about it, right? It doesn't really matter what system you use or sets or rep scheme you use.
Yeah.
There's like little tiny principles like high intensity, low volume, which is obvious. You want to get stronger, you need to lift more weights, but you can't lift more weights the same way that you would do in aerobics class. It's just like, it's kind of common sense. It's just that like, the simpler the better. We've done it. We've tried many different methods and styles and things, and like not one of them was like made us more strong. We just kind of got stronger because we went through the process of lifting up heavy things in a kind of structured order. Do you know what I mean? What principles do I not believe in? None of them. I don't believe in any of them. I'm a training nihilist.
Nothing matters.
Nothing matters. Just like if you want to get do something and do something and you will like make an adaptation from that.
Yeah, but surely some adaptations are going
to
be.
I understand you need to some kind of like things to follow or something to.
Interesting.
Because there's all the science, there's all the training science, which is like they can prove that this thing improves this output, right? But quite often that's like a real 1% thing, right? It's like, are you going to go to all that trouble to do that really elaborate thing to get like this much better at that one thing? When in actual fact, if you just did an overarching good process everywhere, you're going to just make more gains overall.
Yeah, I guess. Rather than
focusing in on one silly little minor thing.
Yeah, I was hoping for something a bit more specific, like overhead press is bad for you or something.
I don't really like bench pressing, which was something I did a lot.
This is stuff that I'm interested in. I understand that your actual answer to it is a lot more abstract and serious and deep, but I want simple ones, Andrew.
Yeah,
I want ones that I can write down. I can put like bench press with a cross through it on the wall.
Yeah. I don't think you need to bench press. Like I think that if you like lifting,
bench press was your lift.
Yeah, I was good at it. I think you're for what it gives you, you're equally good just using push-ups and dips and just general throwing things forward
and just overloading your push-ups with weight. And
yeah, if you feel like you want to, if you feel like you need your push-ups to be overloaded.
Push-ups have a real limitation,
like pushing strength. I like overhead. Like if you can get
essentially
you want your body to be able to lift something up and press it over the longest movement your body can do.
Yeah,
like laying down on the floor and pushing up is like a bit of a fucking lame-o thing to be really good at, isn't it? To be honest, like one stupid thing, one plane of motion, you're really good at.
I haven't done a bench press in maybe 4 years. Yeah. Really long time.
Obviously, it has crossovers to certain things, but you can develop.
I think it's useful for doing something.
You can develop that in other ways.
Dumbbell bench
that are way more interesting. Dumbbell bench is better than a bench press, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I love dumbbell bench.
You're just having to control more implements. Like, you'll just add another variable. So
it's but yeah, overhead press is... But there's a lot of people who think that overhead press is a bad exercise or overrated exercise. I'm not quite in that camp.
No, I think a lot of the... Like if this is where the stuff like the yoga and understanding how your body works and the alignment and stuff, or if that's your education, like overhead press isn't bad.
Yeah.
If you do it right. Do you know what I mean? Your body's supposed to be able to do that.
Yeah.
But you're just like, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You can't do an overhead press. Overhead presses don't work. Oh, they really make my shoulders hurt. Don't do them. Then fix the thing. Mm. Fix the reason why your shoulders hurt and then start doing overhead presses.
Sure, yeah.
But nobody wants to do that.
Well, a lot of people don't. Mm. They want simple answers. Mm. Just like squeeze your toes really hard as you do it and it will be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... it's strange. It's a strange thing. I just like... much like you now, I'm just like... I really like physical training. And I think it just... Like you don't really do anything specific. Have you got a plan? Have you got an overarching thing in your mind that you do? Have you got written down? You've got records written down. But you got like a workout written down?
No. So my training has been interesting over the last couple of years. And actually quite interesting over the last couple of months where I wasn't rolling at all. Mm. Started rolling a month ago. So I had 3 months where I was doing no rolling whatsoever. And I was just lifting 5-6 times a week. Maybe more sometimes. Yeah, 5-6 times a week. And meant that I didn't have to go so crazy on the lifts. Because before, when I was rolling and training, I was getting one or two... when I was traveling, I was getting one or two sessions in a week. Normally 2 or 3 sessions max of lifting. And when you're doing that, because you're not going to be hitting that muscle group for another week maybe... got to go hard, otherwise you're not progressing. Because I don't like stagnation. I don't like the idea. So like what you talk about with your S&C work, where you feel like you're maintaining it so you can keep your body in good condition for
because I'm trying to acquire a skill somewhere else.
Yeah,
so I need to my system's only got so
sure,
much
I get
capacity,
you
right?
I don't like the idea of that. I always want to get stronger. Mm-hmm. But at the same time I realize that can't get stronger indefinitely in one single thing. Mm. You can't bench press and put a kilo on the bar infinitely. Mm. You can't do it. So the biggest change for me in what I'm doing is like way more variety in what I'm doing. I have some exercise, core exercises that I really like and that I do at least once a week. But there's exercise, like I know it looks like this on my Instagram where he's doing something different every day. Mm. I genuinely... almost every single workout I do, I'm doing something I've never done before.
Mm. I think we used to do that a lot. I think we used to like have a plan then, but we would just be in the gym all the time. So we'd be like, we just try different stuff out all the time.
Yes, we did. But I still feel like the breadth of variety and novelty was smaller. Mm. It was how many dips can we do? Mm. Or how many push-ups can we do? Mm. It was still... Mm-hmm. For me, it's a lot more movement based.
What can I make my body do?
Yeah. Getting into awkward positions and being able to do stuff from there. In terms of my training program, I have no program. I haven't had a program since before our last one, 3 years ago. I haven't been on any programs. And at the time, and for a while, I felt that not having a program was really detrimental. Mm. And I felt that maybe that 3 years ago, I felt that I wasn't progressing and I was just going into the gym and pissing around doing nothing and wasting my time.
Okay, so let me stop you there. So in my mind, I think this is like you don't see it. It's all happening from afar. Like I still kind of like, I still, in my mind, I'm coaching you in certain things.
Sure, yeah.
In whether it be whatever, from afar. So I'm like, I think I've taught you like a really good basic fundamentals understanding. You know how to exercise your body.
Yeah.
Now go and find out how to exercise your body.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we kind of did was. Because then imagine when we can come back and join forces again and at a later date.
Mm.
And we've got both of those brains together.
Mm. Yeah. I train instinctively and I don't have a program. And I'm sure if I'm sure if I had a program that my bench press number would be better because I'd be doing bench press every week because I'd be on a bench press program. Mm. But I don't think that I'd be stronger, if that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
You'd and that's something, that thing. That's something that I couldn't put together 3 years ago.
We've now got more training experience.
Yeah, but you could. I could quite easily have trained the same way for 3 years and not gain that experience. You have to try different stuff and experiment to find that stuff out.
Yeah.
So I still have. I still think that you need goals.
That's still what I'm doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm literally still doing that. Just like I've been doing it longer. I'm further along. At some point, you're probably going to come to some of the yoga and the slower, whatever, more God spiritual forbid. Practices. Maybe you'll come to those when it's your time to come to them.
Yeah, maybe.
I doubt you're going to get to an old man and you haven't explored them, are you?
No, probably not.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, I still have some things that I like to try and get my numbers up on. Like at the moment is trying to get a 200 kilo bag squat.
Yeah. Have you got the floor?
What's that?
Have you got it off the floor? You load it before you got the thing, didn't you?
No.
You squat it. Are you going to try and pick it up and squat it?
No. Because I can just about pick up the 140. My squat is way stronger than my pickup. Mm. Which
you don't train to pick up, you just do it off a box.
I train pick up as a separate exercise. Hmm. So I always put the 120 on the box, but I can't put one. I can pick up the 140.
Can you lift the 120 to the box?
Like yeah, once? Yeah, no, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I put whenever I squat, when I warm up with the 120, I put that up there.
Yeah, I love the sandbags. Yeah. I've only got a small one that I use like often. I don't really use the heavy ones at the moment, but I plan to.
Man, I
plan to.
I'm sure that there are people out there, but I don't see people doing. And I'm not saying that I've made it up because obviously I haven't made it up, but there are not a lot of people out there doing heavy sandbag squats. Mm-hmm. Like, if anyone has seen other people do it before I was doing it, and I'm not saying that I've invented it, but I can tell you that a lot more people are doing it because I'm doing it, like of the 20,000 people or whatever follow my Instagram. And I talk bang on about it all the time. But I think it's an amazing exercise. Genuinely, I think it's an incredible exercise. Just because as a grappler, the combination of, I think it's safer on your knees. Mm-hmm. I think it's safer on your back. Mm-hmm. And I think that it works more of your body than a back squat does.
Yeah, of course.
And this is from a guy who could not get enough back squat.
Yeah.
Like genuinely could not squat
the,
enough.
The movement in general is obviously a favored movement of yours. So you like it anyway. But yeah, it's interesting that that's the implement you like doing it with the most.
Yeah, just because I feel that the combination of the upper body squeeze, which is so applicable to my sport, with the with the movement there. But yeah, doing that.
How does your squeeze feel on a human?
Incredible.
Yeah, and you do attribute it to the sandbag.
Yeah.
Or to a squeeze in humans, the combination.
Both.
Yeah.
But you've got to imagine what my ability is.
You basically overloaded the.
Yeah. My ability to squeeze the way that you squeeze a sandbag is not quite the same way,
but it's the create intention, isn't it?
Yeah, and then working the grip stuff. It's a combination. It's like my ability to create tension within the circle of my arms, and my ability to connect my arms together.
And what about the tension you create with your legs when you're grappling?
I don't do anything like that
in the gym.
No.
And you feel quite strong with your legs and your roll when you're rolling.
Relatively.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. But I don't do any hamstring stuff. Mm.
Well, even just like, you know, think about all the like adductor stuff that you're using, just like holding people in mount, holding positions. I think you've got very strong at it. You're going to be really strong at it from doing it for the last 10 years, but you overload the upper body.
Yeah.
But like you don't overload the...
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I fully believe...
Because you could.
Yeah, but just practice squeezing stuff.
I suppose it's like
I think
even just like standing up and hold it between your legs, like these sort of things.
I don't think that I think that it's more hamstring than adductor.
When
you're grappling,
when you're like squeezing in the mount.
The thing, you don't do that though. Mm. You don't do that.
Yeah, I'm doing a different style of grappling too. Yeah.
Okay. You don't really squeeze in the amount that you have to squeeze in. The stuff that you really want power in your legs is back pressure. For triangles and arm bars and hooking things and stuff like that, it's a lot of back pressure with that hamstring.
Yeah, pulling.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't overload that. I've never done anything for my hamstrings.
Yeah.
Always been a real weakness of mine.
What do you feel like? You feel like they're weak?
I feel like they're weak in the gym.
Mm. You just do like banded stuff to start with from those different positions.
So that's part of the warm up.
Yeah. You probably do. I imagine they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. They do the job. But they're not as strong as my quads. They never have been. I've always been quad dominant.
Well, you focus more on that.
Yeah.
But then that's when it comes back to, that's the good time to have a coach. Like actual someone there to assess you. Okay, this is
to say it's time for you to start doing hamstring curls.
If you're not naturally the kind of person who's going to like do the things you know that you should be doing.
Nobody is ever going to be as true with themselves and follow through than if they have a coach. Mm. That's where coach come in.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's when it's important to have someone like there with you while you work out.
Because I still hate training by myself.
Yeah.
I can do it because I don't have to go as intense every workout because I'm working out more. Well, now
I definitely
not.
Train better, like when I have whatever my thing may be, whether it's martial arts or training. If there's someone like a coach there to just keep you directed at one thing, because otherwise I'll just start getting too playful.
For me, it's not that it's.
And you end up kind of getting a bit sloppy.
It's just the energy.
I don't feel like I need that. I feel like it's
I do.
It's just like a practice.
It goes back to introvert, extrovert thing.
Yeah, it's just like a practice for my body. It's like I'm just working. It's just like a exercise for my body that it needs.
So you've got back in the martial arts recently.
Mm.
What have you learned in the last year?
In martial arts?
Yeah.
So I train at SBG in South Shields.
Because you're training MMA now, which is something you weren't doing.
So it's an MMA club. Alex Henlin's the coach, who's a very good coach. Yeah, he's a good coach. And I'm just thinking about what I've learned. It's just a different style. It's a very different style.
But I'm not talking about techniques. I'm talking about what have you learned? What principles have you learned about training that is new to you? Because you have to expect someone with your mentality of learning and growth and improvement to, when they start something completely different, to change and adapt and learn things from that.
Yeah, well, I just accepted that I was going to be really crap at it, and I still am really crap at it. I'm still in the early days of it, right? I've only been back training there for less than 2 years. So I essentially see myself as a beginner. Like, you wouldn't even, I'd be like a three-stripe white belt or something, or whatever, in that 18 months or something. So yes, I have a vague foundation. Like, I understand the concepts of grappling to a blue belt level at, in jiu-jitsu, but really blue belt is just like a kind of white belt that understands the positions,
you know? Sure. Yeah,
like purple belt and above is when you're kind of like really understanding the concepts of what you're doing and things.
Then you get the purple belt and you're like, purple belt is just a white belt that knows the position.
Yeah, probably. I imagine but that's the idea. If you were thinking you were good, like, do you know what I mean, when you're getting these lower grade belts, that's the ego. Where was I going? What was I saying?
Don't know. Hey, it's your answer.
What was the question?
I don't remember.
You gotta remember.
What have you learned? I'm not.
No, I liked the process again. I liked being a beginner. I liked being crappy. I kind of accepted it. I completely leave my ego at the door every time I go in. I'm enjoying just learning stuff. I'm enjoying like getting better at stuff. I can see myself getting better at stuff. I like when I come from there and I go to a jiu-jitsu, come back down here and train in a jiu-jitsu gym, and it's got a very different style as opposed to, you know, I train in the SBG and I just get like smashed with the same thing.
Yeah.
Just like if you go to Mill Hill, most of the guys are kind of working on the same kind of thing, right? What's been going on in the classes over the last few months or 6 months, everyone's kind of got that kind of skill set. So it's nice when you kind of bring a different skill set on the mat. That's nice. I enjoy that. I'm enjoying the process of learning something new. And it's everything. I'm doing wrestling, I'm doing striking, and I'm doing grappling. It's a different style of grappling. It's not like, it's more controlling. It's all about controlling.
I always find the MMA guys,
plus I like the character building I'm getting from getting
beat up.
They wouldn't say so. They'd be like, you're not getting beaten up, because they're way, it's a different thing.
Yeah,
jiu-jitsu guys and MMA guys, it's a different thing.
Yeah, of course.
You can't even compare it. It's a good experience. It's a good experience. I enjoy it. I really, if you're just a jiu-jitsu guy, I say just a jiu-jitsu guy, but if you just train jiu-jitsu and don't you sort of think, oh, this is the best martial art. Why do I need to do something else?
It is.
I see that. But go and learn how to throw some punches and kicks.
Why do you want to get punched in the face?
And also go and learn how to effectively take someone down.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's part of grappling.
I think also would you not? You don't have to be amazing at it, but you don't even know you don't even know the technique of throwing punches and kicks and combinations. You can I've seen it, but you should know that stuff. You're a martial artist, right? Or you don't view yourself as a martial artist, you view yourself as a jiu-jitsu guy.
I don't. I just view myself as a grappler.
Yeah.
I don't like to say Brazilian jiu-jitsu. I don't mean any disrespect to Brazilian jiu-jitsu, but I think Brazilian jiu-jitsu is just an amalgamation.
There was definitely a time when you weren't, your mind wasn't open to other styles of grappling as it is now. I know you don't think anything better, but you now see the value.
I disagree.
There's values in them.
I disagree.
To bring to your game.
Because I've always felt of myself as a grappler opposed to a Brazilian jiu-jitsu person, because I take a lot of influence from stuff like catch wrestling and other styles. I think what you mean is the wrestling, the appreciation of the stand-up, which I've been doing for the last before lockdown for a while, and I have a huge appreciation for the importance of wrestling, the technique in wrestling, the everything, culture, history, everything. I'm super interested in and want to find out more about and want to explore that stuff.
Yeah, I really like the wrestling. I like it a lot.
Matt, the interesting thing with wrestling and grappling, this is getting off on a tangent as well, every single culture in the world has an ancient folk style of their own style.
It's like a safe way of fighting, isn't it?
But nobody knows. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows what?
Nobody knows that how many styles of wrestling there are.
Oh, yeah, of course. Every culture has one, and they don't even know about some cultures.
I was listening to another podcast called, and he's really well made. I wanted to get him on this podcast. He lives in Germany. It's called Hero of a Thousand Holds. Hero with a Thousand Holds. It's about folk style wrestling from different cultures. And I was listening to one he was doing about I'm not even going to say the name because I'll butcher it, but it was the indigenous Canadians. So the Native Americans, but the ones up north.
Yeah.
Because before we came over there and fucked one.
Yeah.
We came over there, fucked it all up. It was just a landmass. And they have a folk style of wrestling that's crazy. One, they start off by grabbing their hair.
Yeah.
They both grab onto their hair. That's how you start.
Yeah. So you're grabbing mine, I'm grabbing yours.
Yeah, because they had long hair.
Yeah.
And
of course, they didn't go to the barbers, right?
No. And whoever wins gets the other one's wife.
Okay. What's the techniques?
Yeah, you just got to put them on the ground.
But obviously there's techniques, right?
Yeah, I think
it's you're saying you just got to make them submit.
Oh, no, there are techniques, but standard. It's almost like a Greco-Roman, but from the hair. Hmm. And you get the other one's wife. And he's saying that it's a really interesting episode, actually. You just go there. You put up your, there's cultures that...
And they still do it? You still find it in small little
pockets?
No, I
don't think so.
What, it's dead, it's gone.
I think it's gone.
It's extinct.
Oh, mate, so many folk style of wrestling has gone.
That's going to happen with a lot of, even traditional martial arts that were around, that people were doing in the 70s and 80s are going to be gone.
Yeah, but we're talking about stuff that's been for hundreds or thousands of years.
Well, so are these things. Bastardized versions, but so are these things.
Right? The UK has an incredible history of folk style wrestling. And it's almost died out completely in some places. Mm. Very, very, very small groups, and just being just overrun by Olympic wrestling styles or
but it's more effective styles, right?
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
More effective styles have come along and taken away from those, and there wasn't an internet and there wasn't more people bringing these things, and
I guess it's
and now they brought these different styles
depends what your definition of effective is.
Within a rule set, a fixed rule set.
Yeah, because some of them they'll grab onto there were special belts that they grab onto, they grab onto each other's hair, like in this one. That Turkish oar wrestling, you stick your finger up their pants, don't you?
Mm. Yeah, I've seen lots of that sort of stuff. There's a really good guy on Instagram who's
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, the Mongolian.
He's living in Mongolia.
Doing a farm and everything.
Yeah, I want to go out there and do some of that.
He's like a bad motherfucker as well, isn't he?
Mm.
You don't know what they're showing, though. He's showing him smashing other people. I'm sure there's.
I think he has a judo background or wrestling background.
I'm sure
or
he's
something.
Getting as good as he's giving, but yeah, he looks like a beast.
Yeah, I find it really interesting. But yeah, that was really. We really went off topic. Oh, yeah, we're talking about MMA versus grappling.
Yeah, well, they're different things, right? It's like tennis and badminton. Different things.
Yeah. What else? We're an hour and a half in.
Yeah. Do you know what? I'm really into like a lot of the martial arts stuff. I do. I've started picking up the stick again off of David.
Mm.
I like that because it's the patterns.
Okay, this
you
is something
you know
I want to
know how like you've got into the WEC. With the rope.
That's what I was just going to
talk
about.
It's like a similar thing. No, it's not the same movements, obviously, but it's a similar thing. It's like intricate patterns.
I believe, or I pondered a lot recently about the importance of coordination and building coordination.
That's huge, yeah.
I think
the more times you go through the process of building those things, the easier it is for you to pick up skills later.
And especially... left right imbalances, people's inability to do not complex tasks but intricate tasks, not even that intricate tasks, with their non-dominant hand. So because I do quite a bit, do juggling,
I do as well, yeah,
do the rope and do the clubs with both hands.
Something I've been doing more recently is I throw a lot. So I do like these kind of light slam ball throws.
Yeah.
I also do like just with a tennis ball.
Yeah.
And just throw. I do a lot of throwing.
That's always been something I'm bad at.
Trying to be
throwing and catching. Yeah.
Trying to be accurate. I can throw pretty good, and I throw with both hands. Like I do left and right. And you're such a spaz with your left.
Yeah.
In comparison,
I'm not
it
very good.
At, it does get a little better.
I'm not good at very good at throwing with my right to begin with. Yeah. If people listen to this, learn to juggle. It's not hard. I genuinely believe
it's a good skill. It is a really good skill to pick up.
It's an important. I think it's an important skill.
I like, and there's there's some good ways you can use it as well. You can get like when you do things where you get someone tired, and then you have to get them to do something where they're like having to be really focused and coordinated.
Yeah, you see quite a lot of people on these balance boards now. That's quite popular.
With the circle with the like a skateboard.
Mm.
Alex has one of them, and he's excellent at it, and he's got excellent balance. And he can do it really well, and I just like fall off it.
Might order one off Amazon tonight. Seems like the next thing.
Yeah.
I got one of those balls with elastic.
Is this actually the thing, right? We're actually doing the thing. We're not talking about
the podcast.
Yeah. we got a bit too relaxed.
Yeah.
We're talking about what you're going to go by shopping afterwards. We need to pull it back.
Pull it back. Okay. Really, I should do that. I'm the host and everything. Okay. Yeah, without...
That's like it's a genuine thing. We're during lockdown. We haven't seen each other for a while. So we're sort of like falling back into relaxing.
Yeah, I think in general, the podcast that I do with you is always very different to the podcast that I do with other people because...
I think it'd be interesting if you did another podcast with someone else that you did one with 3 years ago. Like everybody... You just grow. Everyone grows and changes.
Yeah,
and
but you're very...
Experiences.
But...
I just had a big experience in the last few years that kind of changed my thinking a little bit and my way of living.
Yeah. Let me know who you want me to talk to that I haven't had on the podcast in 3 years or however long. That'd be a real cop-out if I just start every 3 years. It would take me about 3 years to go through the 3 years to go through the 80 people I've had on, and then boom, it's ready for the 3 years after that.
But I think it will probably highlight that there are a lot of people that, maybe not in that community of people you've asked in, but... You would probably normally find there's a lot of people who are in exactly the same place, doing the same thing, the same mindset as they were 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Which for me is terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I do feel like if you're... The idea of not progressing, not moving forward is...
But like constantly, at any age.
Yeah. It's like watching someone run a race and they're standing still.
I understand that like I'm going to... You're like certain things are going to give, right? Like at some point, you're going to start to have physical limitations that you didn't have before.
Because of age?
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's do that. You're 40 in it.
Yeah, but
6 months.
I can't, it's difficult to compare.
Yeah, but you know your own body.
I'm an outlier.
What are you doing now? what are you doing now to mitigate some of the that you have to do, or to mitigate?
It's just controlling my intensity, controlling my energy levels, and it's a lot to do with the comes back to that foundation. Like I can't do. It's if I skip the basics, or like don't, if I'm not optimizing the basics, they hit me harder. That's partly maybe because of the Crohn's as well, if we're underlying makes a bit more of a difference. But I think generally all around that makes a difference. Like you see it all with people, like they start eating bad, they slip, they're like food slips, and then suddenly they're like productivity slips, and they're just like the mindset slips, and they get more negative thoughts creeping. And you just like, it's like a downward spiral. You need to have that like
foundation. You've got to stay on track.
You've got to stay on track. You've got to stay on the path all the time with that basic stuff.
And if you fall off, just get back on.
Well, just like once you're aware, like you might, because you might not be, because like
you can fall off for months and not really.
It's a coping mechanism for whatever it is, right? As soon as you become aware of it, just make steps to get back straight back to it, and don't shame yourself for falling off.
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay, let's finish off with what we need to. Then let's work out what the name of the third episode will be.
Redemption. So we had the revenge. Had their redemption.
Okay. Well, that didn't take very long.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Anything else?
No. Hope everyone's well.
Yeah.
Hope you had a nice day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And some positivity.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me in my garage, Andrew.
Yeah. It's been a pleasure. I love it here. You know I love it here.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll do this again in another 3 years.
Yeah, okay.
If you want to see more about Andrew, where can they find you?
No one's hard to find these days. Instagram is better than anywhere else.
You're better. You 3 years ago, you weren't good at this.
Yeah. Well, it's a process, right?
4 years ago, you were very bad at this.
Yeah, it's a process. It's Andrew Marshall on Instagram.
Do you have underscores under your?
Yeah.
They say take them out.
Yeah. But,
okay. I feel I'm raspberry_8.
Yeah.
And I feel like I need to take it out.
I feel like we're probably dinosaurs, really, with Instagram. I think we're probably going to get left behind very soon. Surely it's going to move on.
Everyone's going to be on TikTok.
Maybe. I think I'll probably just bow out, to be quite honest, of social media at that point.
Don't say that.
I'd probably just bow out. Like everyone left Facebook when their parents started coming onto Facebook, right?
Yeah, but you say that people are still on Facebook.
My daughter's on TikTok. She's 11.
Mm.
I'm probably just going to bow out.
Well, it was good having
you. I'll find something else. There'll be something that, like, doesn't have to be a social media platform. It'll be like some kind of thing.
Do you have a website?
I might have to open a website, yeah.
Do you have a website?
No.
I'm going to do my outro here because I can't be bothered to put the mics back on.
Okay.
Go something like this. And that something like this. And that is it. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I certainly did. If you want to find out more about Andrew, then you can find him on Instagram, as we've just made out, and probably on his old man Facebook account. As always, if you want to contact the podcast, then you can email me at podcast@raspberryape.com. You can check me out on YouTube at youtube.com/raspberryape. You can go to my website. It's actually not up, but it might be up by now because I'm going to put it up in the next couple of days, which is raspberryape.com. Of course, on Instagram or Twitter, but I do use Instagram mainly. But if you message me on Twitter, I will message you back, I guess, which is raspberry_ape still now. I might change that soon. And that's about it. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks.
Pleasure.
Cheers.